It's the Socially Responsible Investing Show. I'm your host, Mike Mullins. Welcome to everyone on this beautiful day. This is a show, the Socially Responsible Investing Show, that is designed for and focused on investors. I want to help investors. I want to help you make better investing decisions. Better for whom? First of all, better for you. Making better investment decisions for you with the portion of your money that goes into investments can help improve the quality of your future life, the quality of your retirement in later days, your ability to be philanthropic in your later days, the ability perhaps to help family members in your later days, all based on you making better investment decisions today. We look at investment opportunities in emerging and timely sectors and industries. We're looking for strong, high-quality dividend-paying stocks for those of you who are looking for dividend income and have perhaps a more conservative approach to investing. And we look at all of these things through a socially responsible investing lens. We're looking for opportunities in emerging technologies such as clean tech, emerging technologies such as alternative fuels. We're looking for strong companies that are doing the right thing as far as having good environmental standards. We're looking for good companies that have a good record with their workforce and treating them fairly. We're looking for companies that have a good record of working with the communities where they have their businesses and their offices and their plants. We're looking for companies that have a good progressive attitude toward their governance decisions, such as how processes get put together for deciding who gets bonuses and how big those bonuses are. We believe that those processes and conversations should be transparent so that shareholders, who actually are the owners of the company, will have input. We, above all, want to help you align your values with your money and improve your world one ethical, responsible choice at a time. Today's front burner issue is water is more precious than gold. You've heard of black gold, oil, of course. We all know that that's a very important, valuable commodity. Fortunes have been made and lost investing in oil. And of course, there's gold, the topic of last week's show. We discussed the potential for having gold in your portfolio, and we'll talk a bit about that more in a later chapter. We have a question that I think really gets to the heart of it. But today, the topic is blue gold. As a commodity, water is right up there with oil and gold in importance and financial opportunity. Of those three kinds of gold, blue gold is the only commodity that has no substitute. There are two big issues in dealing with water that'll help us get introduced to the topic, and then we will look later in the show at investing opportunities. First big issue is quantity. The issue of having enough water for the populations of the world in the various ways that water gets used. And we'll touch on those having to do with drinking water. We'll touch on those having to do with industrial use. And the topic of desalination is always something that a lot of people have heard of. And the other big issue is quality. And we'll talk about World Water Day, which every year is on March 22nd, was observed again this year, International World Water Day. After we talk about that a bit, we'll talk about the market of last week and consumer confidence briefly before we introduce our guest who will be in our second chapter. I'm going to read from a bit of an article here that Janet Ingalls, our guest, has written. And she says, what the ancient mariner expressed in frustration certainly has relevance today. Water, water everywhere, nor any drop to drink. Variations of that old adage, which have been passed down for generations, illustrate the dangerous paradox of water. It's everywhere, yet most of it is inaccessible. The fictional characters of Samuel Taylor Coleridge's famous 18th century English poem, the rhyme of the Ancient Mariner, recognized what so many explorers have lamented as they began to run out of water. They were surrounded by a vast ocean of seawater, but they couldn't drink any of it. Now, more than 200 years later, the world is still rich in seawater, but by comparison has barely a drop of fresh water. Roughly 70% of the earth is covered with water. However, 97.5% of it is salt water. Only 2.5% of the earth's water is fresh, and much of that is frozen. Just 0.5% of the world's water is accessible fresh water. Water scarcity doesn't discriminate. It can impact developed and developing nations. Water shortages already afflict roughly 700 million people in 43 countries. The World Bank forecasts by 2035, more than one-third of the world's population will be at risk of living in severely water-stressed areas. Water usage is rising at twice the rate of global population growth. Now, water shortages we've heard about in various places, and we know in countries that have been ravaged by disasters like Haiti and Chile, that the disruption of the municipal water supply is a very serious health issue, and it's not just because people don't have actually clean water to drink in enough of a quantity. But think about this. The sewage system, the waste management system in a city depends on a tremendous amount of water being available. So not only do we have the potential for thirst, starvation, if you will, but we also have the potential for all kinds of biological diseases running rampant. This is not news. But water crises can come in sudden shocks in the future, says Laura Shenkar, a water technology consultant based in San Francisco. Global phenomenon such as global warming, population growth, massive increases in the use of water for agriculture and manufacturing, and increased pollution will put mounting pressure on current and future water supplies. In an example of this issue, Atlanta, Georgia experienced its worst drought on record, along with other communities in the southeast, in 2007 and 2008. Poor planning, climate change, and other issues took these communities by surprise. In late 2007, Atlanta, Georgia was left with less than 90 days of water supply, leaving citizens and governments pointing fingers. Now, when it comes to quality, I'm going to stay with quantity for a minute. I've got another report that was really kind of a surprise. This is from the Montreal Gazette. It was published last year. It's called Great Lakes Not Enough to Quench Water Shortage. Even the Great Lakes aren't great enough to sustain North Americans' reckless water use in the event of a continent-wide water shortage, according to this article published by the Montreal Gazette last year. The report, titled Sentinels of Change, was released in the magazine Science last year. It suggests that Great Lakes' scant renewal rates would not provide enough water to get it through a full-blown crisis. Quote, I think we have to stop considering the Great Lakes as the thing that's going to irrigate the Red River Valley and supply water to the dry American Southwest, said University of Alberta biologist David Schindler. It's like our big bank account with a low interest rate. Let me say that again. It's like our big bank account, the Great Lakes is, with a low interest rate. In the case of Lake Superior, that water is only renewed at a rate of about 0.2% a year on average. That's the sustainable water we have to work with, not the whole lake basin, if we want to continue to have a good lake for future generations. Schindler pointed out that the planet's warming climate will only increase the rate of evaporation on the Great Lakes, slowing their rate of renewal even more. Now, World Water Day, March 22nd every year. The theme for this year was clean water for a healthy world. Every year, 1,500 cubic kilometers of wastewater are produced globally. While waste and wastewater can be reused productively for energy and irrigation, it usually is not. In developing countries, 80% of all waste is being discharged untreated because of lack of regulations and resources. And population and industrial growth add new sources of pollution and increased demand for clean water to the equation. Human and environmental health, drinking and agricultural water supplies for the present and future are at stake. Still, water pollution rarely warrants mention as a pressing issue. To do something about that, the United Nations Water Commission has chosen Clean Water for a Healthy World as theme for the World Water Day 2010. The overall goal of the World Water Day on 22 March 2010 is to raise the profile of water quality at the political level so that water quality considerations are made alongside those of water quantity. This is an international day to celebrate fresh water. It was recommended at the 1992 UN Conference on Environment and Development, and the United Nations General Assembly responded by designating 22 March 1993 as the first World Water Day. The issue of water quantity is clear. We can't make more. We need to conserve what we have. We need to manage what we have. We need to direct what's available in a way that keeps us from going to war over water the way we have gone to war over oil in the past. This is a serious issue. It is not depletable the way oil is. However, as I just read from the Great Lakes, the rate of renewal that comes from rainwater precipitation is so slow that it can't possibly keep up with the increased demand. So we've got to manage what we've got better. This is where the investment opportunity comes in. There are investments that people can make in water utilities, in companies that create the infrastructure, everything from pumps and meters to the piping, the technology that it takes to manage systems for monitoring. These are all areas that we will talk about in a bit more detail in a couple of segments from now. Meanwhile, our next guest is Janet Ingalls, and her article is on our on my website, which is michaelwmullins.com. If you go to my website, michaelwmullins.com, on the right side of the homepage, you'll see a bulletin board, and the article is called Water, Water Everywhere, But Not a Drop to Drink. And we will hear from our interview. We'll have our interview with Janet Ingalls in this next segment. This is Mike Mullins, your host of the Socially Responsible Investing Show, AM 950, The Voice of Minnesota.
Colleen Buckman.
And I'm Susan Shahada with Raising the Consciousness, Sundays at 1 p.m. Join us for our next big event, a kirtan or sacred chanting concert with internationally touring musician Dave Stringer.
Saturday, April 24th, 8 p.m. at Old Arizona Theater in Uptown Minneapolis. Tickets are $20 in advance, $25 at the door. For more information, go to raisingtheconsciousness.com.
Time doesn't stop when an injured veteran comes home, but you can help. When you bring a watch with a dead battery to Aurora Jewelers, we'll replace the battery for free. All we ask is that you make a donation for Homes for Our Troops. Donations help build special homes for injured veterans. Find out more at homesforourtroops.org or by visiting Aurora Jewelers across from the Eden Prairie Mall online at aurorajewelers.com.
If you are thinking of buying or selling a home or are interested in the local real estate market, then you need to tune into the Twin Cities Real Estate Radio Show, Sunday mornings starting at 9. This week, the Duckwall team of realtors with Edina Realty and Charles Daly from iLoan will be talking about buying and selling vacation and second homes. Visit us online at TwinCitiesRealEstateRadio.com to submit a question for us or for a wide variety of real estate resources, or call us anytime at 651-344-0621.
Are you looking for positive, lively, religious conversation that's not quite right? Then join me, Doug Padgett, Sunday mornings from 10 till noon. We talk news and politics and faith, and we have a lot of fun doing it. Doug Padgett Radio, your new Sunday morning indulgence. 10 to noon, right here on AM 950.
Nelson here, inviting you to join me every Saturday, noon to 1 o'clock, for my show, Nancy Nelson Make a Difference. At my stores, Our Little Secret, designer accessories at wholesale prices, we have an opportunity for you to make money without investing a thing. Have your own Our Little Secret home jewelry party. The same amazing wholesale prices as in our stores, and at the end of the party, you have a percentage of everything sold. Go to our website, OurLittleSecret.tv, OurLittleSecret.tv for details.
Socially responsible investing is supported by Calvert Investments, mutual funds, college savings, and retirement investments in companies committed to responsible environmental, social, and governance practices. Online at calvert.com.
I'm Ellie the Mammoth, and my friend Sid the Sloth knows what being a great parent is all about.
I'm responsible, loving, nurturing.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Yeah, Mike Mullins, Socially Responsible Investing, and glad you're back with us. We have as our guest today the Director of Research with RBC Wealth Management, Janet Ingalls. She is located in New York City. Janet, thanks so much for being our guest on the show today.
My pleasure.
You know, let's just launch right into it. You know, whatever one thinks of as the reason, a drier climate in some parts of every continent is driving a growing shortage of fresh drinking water. Water is obviously a scarce resource. Janet, how scarce is water?
The statistics are really amazing. So if we think on the base level and you think of the world, 70% of the world today is covered with water. 97.5% of that water is seawater. So only 2.5% of the world water is fresh, and a good portion of that is frozen. That leaves less than 0.5% of the world's total water supply available for use. And think of it from this perspective. As population continues to grow, the demands for water grow at twice the rate of population growth. In the U.S. alone, demand for water has increased threefold in the last 30 years, while our population growth has increased by just 50%. I'd add a couple of other things. When I think of water in general, and just as sort of a base comment, water has no substitute. It's amazing when you think about it. It's the only commodity in the world where that statement is true, that there is absolutely no substitute for water. And while demand, again, doesn't decrease over time, the other point to make about the water scarcity issue, it doesn't really matter where you are in the world today, and there are continents and areas within continents that are more susceptible to arid conditions. Scarcity on water does not discriminate. It affects both the developed and the developing world. It's not just areas of the Middle East that are a problem. We have problems here in the United States of a scarcity of water conditions.
Well, it's like we've just gone through a lot of concern in our economy about companies going bankrupt. But we're on the verge of a water bankruptcy as well, are we not?
We are. We are in many different senses. Water, there is a finite amount of water on the world today, and what is happening, it's not just population growth, but think of this from a global perspective and what has changed in terms of the global economies. As many of these developing economies around the world continue to grow, first from an industrialized perspective and then potentially from a consumer perspective, there is another trend that has taken place. And the trend has been migration in people in the world. So if you think of the developing economies, there has been a dramatic migration from the rural areas into the urban areas. With that comes a number of different factors. With that comes an expectation, I would say, for a higher quality of life. In the developing economies in particular, that higher quality of life means two things. One, it's the things that we take for granted in the United States. It's the access to fresh water, it's the access to drinking water, some level of a different living environment. That's number one, and that is causing stresses on the entire infrastructure for water. But the other issue that comes about is as this migration takes place on a global basis, we are seeing dramatic changes in patterns of behavior, patterns of eating. Why does that affect water? Well, if you think of what's happened in China, just as one example, as a developing economy, over the last several years, their consumption of meat has increased by somewhere between 25 and 30% as this quality of life issue, as this change in life issue has taken place. How that relates to water, it basically takes 10 times the amount of water to produce the same amount of beef as it takes to produce the same amount of grain. And that is further stressing the water resources, not only in developing economies, but in the developed economies as well.
So when we talk about water, we're not just talking about drinking water for people. We're not just talking about water for cooking, such as boiling and such, we're also talking about industrial uses of water. So the efficiencies that companies around the world exercise in their production, whatever they're making, and how they use water is also an issue.
Absolutely. So there are a couple of things. When you look at the consumption or the uses of water overall, not just drinking water, it really shakes down on a global basis as follows. 70% of the world's water resources are used for agricultural purposes, and 22% are industrial, and only 8%, and again, this is a worldwide number, 8% is used for residential. And then when you get into those different factors on the agricultural side, as we just discussed, depending upon where you are in the world, the efficiencies of the farming systems, in the developed countries, they use less water, so say 30% in agriculture versus almost 85% in some of the developing economies. Mm-hmm. The same holds true on the industrial side. So as you think of the development that has taken place, the incredible development that has taken place as these economies around the world continue to grow, their manufacturing processes are not yet as efficient as they are in some of the developed world. And in many cases, they're using 10 to 15 to 20 times the same amount of water to produce, say, a ton of steel than they would or we would in some of the developed countries around the world.
Well, and this really gets into the socially responsible investing part, the ethical investing, in that the companies that are aware of and have policies in place in their companies for the proper use, appropriate use of water in the environment they're in is really important. And so what are some of the major investment areas that we could look at for our investments?
Sure. I think there are a couple things. As you just pointed out, from the socially responsible side of things, there is now a big move for water footprinting. So many major companies around the world, global companies, are now looking at their water footprint as a notion of, you know, how are they treating the environment and how are they using this scarce resource. But when we think about investments around water, there are three main areas that come to mind. Water utilities, you know, it's the ability to actually get the water into your home, and that is one segment. The second segment is infrastructure, all of the pipes. It could be the control valves. It could be the water efficiency things that we have within our own homes. Infrastructure is a second, and then desalination, particularly in the Middle East, becomes a very important component within the investment area. We tend to focus on the infrastructure, and I'd say a couple of things. You know, the companies that are involved in water in general will change over time. This is not just a one-year fad or a one-year investment theme. This crisis, the scarcity of water, is something that we live with today, and we will expect to live with, and policies around this will be very, very important. But from an infrastructure standpoint, it's estimated that the growth or the demand or the need for infrastructure spend is probably close to 7 to 8% a year for the next 20 years are needed on a global basis. Here in the United States, it's estimated that we need to spend over $1 trillion to shore up some of our infrastructure needs within the U.S. An amazing statistic and a very disturbing statistic to me is that today, if you think of the infrastructure we have in the United States, one of the developed countries within the world, we lose close to 7 billion gallons of treated water a day. In terms of leakage in the system overall. Some of that, of course, is recaptured. But we believe that infrastructure is probably the largest, the most diverse, and probably the most interesting part of the water segment in terms of investments today.
Well, Janet, thank you very much for being with us today. Janet Ingalls is Director of Research with RBC Wealth Management in New York City. We'll take a brief break, and when we come back from our break, we will take questions that have been emailed to me regarding investing, and we will answer those questions. And in the final segment of our show, we will address specific areas and industries where investing in water for investors can be made. Mike Mullins, Socially Responsible Investing. Be right back.
Common Good Books has been a closely guarded St. Paul secret for years, but book lovers from all over are discovering that Garrison Keillor's bookstore is, well, above average. Conveniently tucked away in the lower level of the Blair Arcade on the corner of Western and Selby in St. Paul, and online at commongoodbooks.com. Common Good Books features an excellent selection of hand-picked books, from classic American literature to the best political reads. And remember, live local, read large.
There are just certain times in life when jewelry can help you save what you want without saying anything at all. Maybe it's a celebration, an anniversary, a milestone. Aurora Jewelers will help you say what you want to say and make the moment memorable. Aurora Jewelers will help you create or select that special jewelry that expresses personal identity and captures the moment. Aurora Jewelers. Express yourself. Express your love. Aurora Jewelers. Across from the Eden Prairie Mall, or visit online at AuroraJewelers.com.
It's never too early to get started with spring cleaning, and there's nowhere better to start than your carpet and upholstery. Zero Risk uses empowered water, leaving your carpets and upholstery clean with zero residue behind, and they even clean air ducts. Call now for 3 rooms pre-treated, cleaned, and sanitized for just $129. Call 651-779-8888. That's 651-779-8888. Zero Risk, the right way to clean.
This is Congressman Keith Ellison, and I'd like to tell you about my dear friend, Matt Intenza. Matt didn't have the easiest start in life. His dad struggled with an addiction to alcohol, leaving Matt's mom to raise him and his siblings, and the family nearly broke. It could have knocked anyone down, but facing challenges, Matt created opportunity. With the help of teachers, student loans, and hard work, Matt went on to become a prosecutor and a legislator. I served in the legislature with Matt. He believes that Minnesota should take care of its kids and families the way Minnesota took care of him. I saw Matt take on the tough fights and win. Whether facing down Tim Pawlenty and winning for our schools, or cracking down on HMO abuse. When the chips are down, Matt and Tenza will fight for us, for education, and for health care. Facing challenges, creating opportunity. It's the story of Matt's life. And it's what we need in a governor right now.
Paid for by Minnesotans for Matt. www.intenza.com.
Tutoring isn't just for struggling students. Tutoring has benefits for even the most gifted students. At Wizard Academy, we motivate as much as we teach. Our goal is to help students gain confidence and learn new skills so they can excel at school, at home, and in the future. Call today to schedule a free evaluation to identify your students' strengths and challenges. Call the Wizard Academy in Eden Prairie at 952-224-2294. That's 952-224-2294. Wizard Academy, tutoring that works.
Here's a quick look at your weather forecast from the AM 950 Weather Center. Today, a 50% chance of rain, cloudy, and 50. Tonight, a slight chance of rain, cloudy, and 35. Tomorrow, Sunday, mostly sunny and 52. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy and 33. And Monday, mostly sunny and 59. That's been a quick look at your weather forecast from the AM 950 Weather Center. AM 950 KTNF, the voice of Minnesota.
We are back with you. This is Mike Mullins. I am the host of the Socially Responsible Investing Show. And I want to thank Laura Caviani for that wonderful music that we use to open and close segments. Laura Caviani, that album that you're hearing can be found on her website, lauracaviani.com. It's LauraCavini.com. I want to also thank one of our new sponsors, Wizard Academy. You just heard their advertisement. My good friend Claude Chenard has the Wizard Academy, and I've been to the classroom, if you will, a number of times right here in Eden Prairie. And they do a wonderful job in working with segments of our population who really need to be able to boost math and science scores. And evaluating your child's scores, evaluating your child's needs, I should say, is essential to being able to find ways and methods for customizing how to raise their test scores. I highly recommend that you get to meet Claude Chenard, wonderful guy at the Wizard Academy. Thanks to him for being our new sponsor this week. Also want to thank Dunn Brothers, the wonderful coffee place in Eden Prairie, right across from the library. also right across from Eden Prairie Mall on Prairie Center Drive. Ken and Sharon have become good friends, and I appreciate their sponsorship. And when I meet people for my networking or to meet clients out and about to get a cup of coffee, my first thought is always to go to Dunn Brothers. And if they're not from too far out of town, we like to steer them over to the west side here and take advantage of the really wonderful ambiance in that particular coffee shop. And I'll tell you, I've met in a lot of coffee shops. I won't mention the other names. You know who they are. And what I find a lot of times is just so darn noisy, it's really, really hard to hear yourself in a conversation with people. That's not the case at the Dunn Brothers across from the library in Eden Prairie, and I really encourage you to go there. And I will say more about that in a few minutes. You know, at the end of the first chapter before our conversation with Janet Ingalls, again, thanks very much for that interview, Janet. I said I would just do a quick market update, and I think I do want to get this in. This week, the Commerce Department said that its final revision of fourth quarter 2009 gross domestic product indicates that the economy grew at a 5.6% annual rate. The reason that's important is because, as you probably know, the primary way to rate whether an economy is in a recession or not has to do with two consecutive quarters of negative growth. And here we are at 5.6. And this is usually the way. There will be a quick reacceleration, and it slowly drags the economy along. Let's see. The University of Michigan March Consumer Sentiment Report came out and showed that consumer sentiment remained unchanged from February. Taken together, what did the two numbers tell us? It tells us that the economy is stagnant. Economists concede that the 5.6% growth in the fourth quarter gross domestic product, GDP, is a good number. Largely came from manufacturing. That sounds good at first glance, but if you dig a little deeper, you see that manufacturers were merely making products to restock store shelves that had been allowed to dwindle during the Great Depression. And the takeaway here is don't expect first quarter of this year to come in that high. 5.6. In fact, forecasters and economists are expecting that the U.S. economy will grow only at a 3% rate through the rest of the year, which still beats really stagnant Europe, which will be lucky to see a 1% growth in their gross domestic product this year. The problem with the more stagnant growth rate of 3% is unemployment, still seeing at 9.7. There's a whole lot more people that are underemployed as well as the unemployed. And I think my guess is, and I can't prove this, but my guess is that a lot of those unemployed people are actually making more money than the underemployed at this time. So one out of five Americans still not fully employed, and this is going to keep things down, because if we don't have a recovery that involves a lot more people working, then this has got to become a consumer spending recovery. That's why consumer confidence numbers are so important. Consumer spending accounts for 70% of the United States gross domestic product. Less than confidence, consumers don't spend, and that blunts the recovery. So the consumer confidence number was unchanged from February. People just not feeling all that comfortable yet. That's pretty obvious, I think. Now, we have a question that came in I had several questions come in regarding gold from last week's show. And the one I want to kind of address, I think, catches a number of very important things. How much gold, person wants to know, should I have in my portfolio? Well, there are several questions that come with that. It's impossible to answer that question on the fly. I have no idea who you are as far as an investor goes or what your objectives are. I need to know what your time horizon is. And I want to know, when you talk about investing in gold, do you want to own gold coins? Or would you prefer to invest in companies that have gold mining operations? Or are you interested in investing in a trust, sort of a holding company trust, that actually invests in gold? So rather than invested in a company that has gold mining operations and the attendant problems that come with a company, do you just want to own the commodity in a trust? So whichever one of those is your focus, you know, then we can go from there and talk about how long is it before you need to spend this money. So I've talked about in the past, it's important to visualize a bullseye. When you think about your investing money, in the middle of the bullseye is your lifestyle money. I say B for budget. The next ring out is your cash and your reserves, and that money only has one goal, and that's to support your lifestyle. Some people talk about having a certain number of months in reserve of whatever your annual income is in the event that you became unemployed. And, of course, if people that became unemployed had followed that advice, they probably are a lot more comfortable than some others of us. And then the third area is the investing area, and that should be the money that you have set aside for your long-term goals, such as retirement, such as any philanthropy you'd like to do, such as supporting your children, supporting yourself in later years, obviously, is at the top of that list. So when you think about gold, the price of gold is, on the one hand, can be short-term volatile. On the other hand, in long-term terms, it really doesn't move that fast. And you want to consider having that in a combination of a really a relatively low percentage of your long-term portfolio should be in alternative investments. Gold is an alternative investment. All right, so I would encourage anybody that wants, excuse me, an answer to that question to get in touch with me. Send me an email. Go to my website. It's Michael W. Mullins, MULLINS.com. You can click on Contact Me or email, and you'll be able to find me, and you'll be able to send me a question. I promise I will respond to your question directly. Also, while you're on the website, take a minute to look at my homepage, and it says, who is Mike Mullins and how do I meet him? Take 2 minutes and view my personal video. If you have a look at that and you were wondering, gee, am I comfortable enough to ask a question about gold investing, and you have a look at that, maybe you'll reach a conclusion one way or the other, and I'd love to hear from you. Now, I do want to say something here in this segment about RBC Wealth Management. RBC is my employer. I'm a vice president and financial consultant with RBC. And the guests on this show that talk about strategy and particular segments of investing are going to be RBC Wealth Management or RBC Capital Market employees and analysts and directors of this and directors of that, as we've had. When I'm able to go outside of RBC for guests, I'm looking for experts such as Dr. Michael Sullivan a few weeks ago, who is the chief investment officer at the University of St. Thomas. We have other people coming up who will be authorities. Peter DeSimone from the Social Investment Forum a couple of weeks ago. I do want to say that the RBC Corporation, Royal Bank of Canada, has a project called the Blue Water Project, and this is important back to our topic of water. RBC is not only interested in the water industry from an investment standpoint, the firm is also committed to fostering water stewardship and preserving the world's freshwater resources from environmental and humanitarian standpoints. In late 2007, RBC announced a $50 million grant program, by the way, $50 million Canadian dollars, to fund charities and nonprofit research organizations that protect watersheds and provide access to safe and clean drinking water, particularly in rural communities. While grants will be dispersed over a 10-year period to organizations primarily in countries and regions in which the firm is most active, which is Canada, the U.S., the Caribbean, and the U.K., organizations in all 38 developed and developing countries in which RBC is located will be eligible. Grants have already been awarded to charities and institutes across Canada and the United States. The dollar amount right now that's been committed or granted is $21 million. For many years, RBC has sought to advance environmental and social causes, and the firm has been named to the Dow Jones Sustainability World Index for 9 consecutive years. The index recognizes the world's financial, social, and environmental corporate leaders. Now, I'd like to just to touch on this again, back to my website. If you were to go to website that the tab that says Responsible Investing, that's on the left side of my website. Click on Responsible Investing. Halfway down, you'll see a link to www.sustainability-indexes.com, and that's the index of which RBC is a constituent. The company has a clean water quiz, which I think is pretty interesting, that I will just kind of go through very quickly. You can find this on the website for rbcbluewater.com or Google that and you'll find it. First question is, have you ever poured used paint thinner, leftover paint, or expired medications down the drain? Well, it's never a good idea to pour waste or chemicals down the drain. It's not only bad for the environment, it takes a tremendous amount of energy and lots of chemicals to treat that water before it's released to our natural waterways or used for irrigation. Even then, it may still be polluted. Question number two, what do you think happens to the water that goes down your household drains or toilets? Three answers. I never thought about it. Out of sight, out of mind. No. I learned about this in science class, but can't recall all the gory details. No, I don't think so. The correct answer is, I think it goes somewhere to be treated. That's right. Wastewater from homes in most cities goes to a treatment plant. Then it's released to lakes or rivers or used for irrigation. This is what we're missing in 95% of the world's cities, is an adequate wastewater system to handle human waste. Question number three, it's a hot day and your dirty car is sitting in the driveway with the words "wash me" scrawled on the windshield. So you, one, go to the car wash at the first possible opportunity. Two, go at it in the driveway with the old hose pail and detergent. It's cheaper than the car wash and you'll burn a few calories. Or the right answer, cross your fingers and hope for rain. Especially if you live in a water-stressed region. Some people use rain barrels to collect rain for washing cars and for watering their gardens. Chemical contamination is a major threat to water quality. Question number four, every day dirty water and poor sanitation cause how many deaths worldwide? Would you say it's the equivalent of A, 100 taxi cabs full of people, B, 100 buses full of people, or C, 100 jumbo jets full of people? Sadly, 30,000 people, including about 4,000 children, die each day as a result of contaminated water and poor sanitation. And number five, how concerned are you about keeping water clean? Well, you better be concerned. This is a serious problem. It's only going to get worse. In the next segment, we will talk about investing opportunities and sectors and industries where we'll find a good ways to make a good, profitable investing so we can do well at the same time as we're doing good. So come back. We'll be back in a couple of minutes. It's Mike Mullins with the Socially Responsible Investing Show.
Edina Bike and Sport is inviting you to experience the best sale of the year at our grand reopening starting March 26th. Four models of adult bikes starting at just $199, kids bikes for just $89.99, and any bike purchase over $500 gets $50 in free accessories. Get a free gift just for stopping in. We're busting at the seams with the best deals anywhere. We guarantee it with a 30-day price rebate. Come see us today.
Edina Bike and Sport, the biggest little bike shop in town.
Just north of the crosstown at Wooddale and Valley View Road.
The Home Buyer's Tax Credit has been extended and expanded. You're eligible for $6,500 if you've lived in your home for the last 5 out of 8 years, even for downsizing, or for $8,000 if you haven't owned a home in the last 3 years. Maximum income limits have gone up, and homes up to $800,000 qualify. Start looking now to make the April 30th deadline. Call Waters Realty at 612-865-9150. That's 612-865-9150. Let Waters Realty help find you the perfect nest.
I'm Janet Robert, owner of AM950, and the work that home customizers did in my home was spectacular. They were very professional, and I was especially impressed with the attention they paid to the detail in refinishing my woodwork. I recommend you call Home Customizers for any of your home remodeling needs at 651-690-5964. That's 651-690-5964. Or homecustomizers.com, a local company and Pella Window Contractor, serving the Twin Cities for over 30 years.
Debt stinks. No one wants to have it, and no one wants to battle it. Having too much debt is an embarrassing situation that can dramatically impact the quality of your life, including your ability to get a loan or a job. Hi, I'm John Commuta, creator of the Transforming Debt into Wealth system. I've met too many good people who have too much bad debt. I've shown over 2 million people how to eliminate their credit card debts, car payments, student loans, even their mortgage. My debt-free Bible will show you some of the most successful debt eliminating secrets in the world. You can get out of debt no matter how much money you owe or how much money you make. The truth is, the Debt-Free Bible contains secrets to helping you live debt-free. That's why everyone needs it. To prove it, let me rush you a free copy of the Debt-Free Bible. There's a limited number of free copies still available. Call 1-800-511-1633. That's 1-800-511-1633. 1-800-511-1633.
Tutoring isn't just for struggling students. Tutoring has benefits for even the most gifted students. At Wizard Academy, we motivate as much as we teach. Our goal is to help students gain confidence and learn new skills so they can excel at school, at home, and in the future. Call today to schedule a free evaluation to identify your students' strengths and challenges. Call the Wizard Academy in Eden Prairie at 952-224-2294. That's 952-224-2294. Wizard Academy, tutoring that works.
The Socially Responsible Investing Show. I'm your host, Mike Mullins. You know, when talking about investment opportunities, I have some restrictions, and I need to lay these things out for you so your expectations will be appropriate to what I can do on the air and what I need to do in person, if that gives you a little bit of a hint. I'm a financial consultant with RBC Wealth Management, and this company has been in this town for 101 years. This is the Dane Bosworth of old, the Dane Rauscher, and then it became, in 2001, Royal Bank of Canada bought Dane Rauscher, and it became RBC Dane Rauscher, until May of 2008, when the marketing name was changed, the brand was revised, as happens a lot of times in consolidations, etc., and we became RBC Wealth Management. Same company, same downtown Minneapolis, home location. I think we're in 42 states. It might be more at this point. Royal Bank of Canada has operations in 38 countries around the world. That includes us, and that includes our wealth management business here. Now, our company is regulated. RBC Wealth Management is regulated just like all the other broker-dealers, the other names that you can think of, by the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority. The acronym is FINRA, F-I-N-R-A. Back in the day, the NASD was a regulator, and the successor to NASD is FINRA. Now, while I can guide you on the air to sectors and industries and emerging opportunities, I can identify them as sectors and industries such as infrastructure or utilities or water utilities or those kinds of things, and I can get fairly specific about those. But when it comes to mentioning a specific investment on the air, I cannot. I cannot tell you the name of a local company, for example, that is on the sustainability index. And there are a number locally here that have been very good neighbors over the years, and you know who some of them are, but I cannot say their name on the air. Part of it has to do with protecting you, the investor, from getting the impression that if I say that blah, blah, blah company is a great way to get access to such and such industry, it constitutes an endorsement that may lead you to draw a conclusion about what you should do that we simply can't support, and I just am banned, frankly, from talking about specific securities on the air. Having said that, I believe it's important for us to have a chance to talk about your situation. I urge you to go to my website, michaelwmullins.com, M-U-L-L-I-N-S, and drop me an email and tell me you'd like to have an informal conversation. Let's get together on the phone. Let's get together in person over a cup of coffee and chat about that. Next week, I'm going to be talking about the healthcare reform legislation and the impact on investing. I think it's going to be a very interesting show. I have an excellent guest that will be with us. The week after that, I'm going to have my first results show. And if you watch that dancing show on TV, you know every once in a while they have their results show where they kind of summarize where they've been. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to summarize our recommendations in the areas of gold, which we covered last week, water, which we covered today, and next week, we'll be covering healthcare opportunities. We'll be looking, 2 weeks from now, we'll be looking at all three of those areas in quite a bit more detail, breaking down the sector into various sub-industries and talking about which ones look to be the best opportunities in the current environment. The results show. Now, I will follow that show by having my very first office hour. I will be at the Dunn Brothers in Eden Prairie across from the library between 12 and 1. You come on over, I'll have materials, and we can get real specific about investments. I'll have all the things with me that I recommend in the areas of gold, water, and healthcare. And we can get to know you better, you can get to know me better, and find out if we have a fit. All right. The most valuable commodity in the world today, and likely to remain so for much of this century, is not oil, not natural gas, not even some type of renewable energy. It's water, clean, safe, fresh water. Now, I think that when you want to spot emerging trends, I think I've got the twins on my mind. I'm sorry about that. When you want to spot emerging trends, always follow the money. Today, many of the world's leading investors, leading venture capitalists who like to put private money into a new idea. And most successful companies are making big bets on water. And you do a little research, and it's easy to see why. There simply isn't enough fresh water to go around, and the situation is expected to get worse before it gets better. According to Bloomberg News, the worldwide scarcity of usable water worldwide already has made water more valuable than oil. The Bloomberg Water Index, actually the Bloomberg World Water Index, which tracks 11 utilities, listen to this. It's returned 35% to investors every year since 2003. Since 2003, 35% every year, compared with 29% for oil and gas stocks and 10% for the Standard & Poor's 500 index. Now you may say, well, what the heck? Let's dump all our money into water utilities. Same problem as dumping all your money into gold or keeping all your money in money market or putting all your money into 6-month CDs. It doesn't give you the opportunity to, A, protect your portfolio in the short term. You just need to be spread out a bit more than that. Or B, to be able to take advantage of a variety of things as times and things change over the course of a market cycle, say 5 years. But there is a proportion to having things like a World Water Index, and there are a number of indexes that you can use that invest in things like water utilities. Even though 90% of water utilities in the world are owned by government entities, there are some privately owned, publicly traded water utility companies in the U.S. and Europe. The vast majority of them operate plants in Europe, where 45% are not government owned. In contrast, only 10% of water utility companies in the United States are not government owned. 90% are. Historically, investing in U.S. water utilities has been an attractive option and has provided a stable source of dividends. In recent years, valuations of U.S. water companies, water utilities, have become stretched relative to historic norms, and so we need to be careful to be valuation conscious when looking at buying water utilities, not only the slower growing utilities, but also when considering the faster growing water utilities. Things don't always go up in a straight line, do they? Infrastructure, it's desperately needed in developing and developed nations. We have a crisis in this country and worldwide where we've got water treatment systems, municipal water plants, municipal water piping, meters, you name it, many of which have been in the ground for over 100 years. And, of course, 100 years ago, we weren't making our pipes out of plastic, which have a longer life. We were making them out of cast iron. They rust. They deteriorate. They spring leaks. We lose a tremendous amount of water every year to leakage and water main breaks, and that's in the U.S. Imagine how other countries may be behind the curve. So these are areas to invest in. Now, you can invest in individual stocks. You can invest in mutual funds that focus on utilities or water utilities. You can also use exchange-traded funds. ETFs are very, very popular with a lot of people. And you can use exchange-traded funds, which are mutual funds, but they trade on the stock exchange, to invest in sectors or industry groups. You can also use unit investment trusts. I use those a lot. Unit investment trust gives you the opportunity to get involved in a specific energy, such as energy, technology, healthcare, water. These particular approaches are specific to what your needs are, what your taste is, and what you're trying to accomplish. I urge you to get in touch with me on my website, michaelwmullins.com. Give me a call, 612-371-7859. I'll see you next week. Mike Mullins, the Socially Responsible Investing Show.
For an easy, breezy Twin Cities stay, visit the